the rest of the story. He was an ecologist both by natural inclination and by training. He knew that approximately half of all the timber in the United States had been cut. He knew that as a result, topsoil was washing away at an alarming rate, and many of our native birds and some mammals were already approaching extinction. The worst aspect of this dreary ecological situation was the continued and, in some cases, unnecessary harvesting of our nation's timber. All of this the ecologist knew. He would aid by setting a good example. Unfortunately for this well-intentioned fellow, his decision would cast him in the role of a 20th century Scrooge in the eyes of his family, particularly in the eyes of his young sons, because at Christmas time, he would deny them a Christmas tree. Dr. Seuss once wrote of a mythical Grinch who stole Christmas. To little Archie and Quentin, their well-meaning ecologist daddy must have seemed very much like the villain in that fairy tale, for beginning that year, daddy announced there would be no family Christmas tree. He explained his reasons as best he could. He told the boys about his country's magnificent forests, about how they took so long to grow, and why if the wasteful cutting of timber were not stopped, a terrible imbalance of nature might occur. It wouldn't be all that bad, said Dad. There would be stockings on the mantle, there would be presents, there would be all of the other things that Christmas brings, and yet somehow Daddy's reasoning seemed most unreasonable. Archie and Quentin didn't know much about forestry or conservation. Their question was, but Daddy, what would Christmas be without a tree? But their father stood firm in his decision. The blow was softened that first year by an aunt who gave a Christmas tree party for all of her nieces and nephews, and young Archie and Quentin did so enjoy that party. But when they returned home, of course, their house seemed all the more quiet and empty. Meanwhile, old Scrooge was defending his ecological posture to friends and neighbors, to anybody who would listen. But to follow his example, he inspired very few. By the following Christmas, little Archie and Quentin had had enough. Mid-December, they conspired to smuggle a small evergreen up the back stairs and into Archie's closet, and they succeeded, and they decorated the little tree. But secrets at such an age and in such a season are hard to keep, and Daddy did find out, and after giving the boys a stern lecture, he appealed to a friend to do the same, a friend named Gifford Pinchot, who was perhaps the foremost conservationist in the country. Well, Mr. Pinchot did talk to Archie and Quentin, but it was old Scrooge who got the lecture. He said, tell your daddy that the harvesting of Christmas trees, if properly handled, can help to thin timber lands, can help to produce a better growth. So daddy's argument kind of lost its leverage after that, and though his pride would not permit him to change his public posture, his two small sons, each year thereafter, would be allowed to have a tree upstairs where strangers could not see, upstairs in Archie's room. And in the decades since, the children's father has been forgotten as a Scrooge. In fact, this particular conservationist is now best remembered with a big game rifle in his hand. And yet once upon a time, he was so convinced of the ecological evil of harvesting Christmas trees that he sought to abolish a long-standing tradition at his house. And his house was our White House. But by his own two small sons, President Theodore Roosevelt was outvoted. And now you know the rest of the story.